Good day, everybody. Welcome home. I am Angalaka, and today I am joined by my co-host,
Melba.
So today we'll be exploring the transformative themes around the transition into university life, which is very stressful and tiring at times. From living your familiar environment into an uncomfortable environment that is university, which happens to be very stressful at times, isn't it?
Indeed, Anga, it's very stressful. I think that Rhodes University has definitely showed us the difficulties that comes with being a young adult. Amongst all the piles of school, like, we have to deal with, but it also revealed the essence of making your own home, separate from where you have lived most of your life.
Definitely, definitely. And also about the people who became important within your university life. We're talking about your subwardens, your wardens, your housecom, your whole representatives. Oh, mama, I say kitchen who serve food.
The mamas.
Yes. Those people are the ones who keep you sane and alert of the importance of having someone in your corner. Some even become parental or like authoritative figures in this place, if you think about it. We begin to call this place home, actually. So, yeah, we create our own spaces by having items or pieces of us.
That we bring with us from home.
That's what I'm trying to say. It can be anything. It can be a picture. A picture of you and your mom.
Or a book.
Yes, all of those things. That you use when you're home.
Oh, yeah. When you were still a child.
Yes. But I have a question for you, Melba.
Yes.
What items could you not live without? Or rather, what items that you had to bring with here to Rhodes University?
Oh, well, for me, Anga, I think a Bible. Yes, it's my Bible. I cannot go anywhere without my Bible. It reminds me of home. Like, every time when I feel like I'm lost, I just need my Bible.
Yeah.
What did you bring, Anga?
So, I brought my picture when I was like 10, I think. I love that picture so much. My mom used to put it at the top of her room.
Yes.
I love it so much. It reminds me of home. Every time I look at that picture, I'm like, I get homesick instantly.
I get that. I also get like that. But without delays anymore, let us get into the first segment of today's show, where we'll be focusing on the authoritative and parental figures that we encounter throughout our years at university.
Ziyanda and Kamani delved into this task and provided us with answers from the Rhodes community and the people in these positions who cater to the students themselves in helping them feel more at home, especially when most students are away from their safest space for the first time.
And now we'll also be hearing from our very own podcast members who took on the task to ask members of Rhodes family about their roles and duties, which helped to alleviate the pressure of university life around campus.
Having a parental figure away from home sometimes feels like a nightmare. But apart from that, they offer guidance and moral support.
We often think of home as a place of warmth, comfort, and freedom. But what happens when home is structured by rules, overseen by authority, and shared with strangers? In university residences, the idea of home is reimagined, regulated, negotiated, and sometimes resisted. The warden resembles a parental figure. Subwardens mirror older siblings. And your friends? They are your new family. Together, these structures form a space that governs your space, behavior, belonging, and identity. Join us as we step into the residence system at Rhodes University. Subwardens are a bridge between students and management. They ensure that every student is safe in their care. They offer support, making students feel at home.
I've just really been blessed with the kind of personality that knows how to make most people feel comfortable. And I really care about how people feel when they're around me. So I pay particular attention to that. So I think I've become a sister by just being reliable and also by being vulnerable with other people makes them feel safe as well.
However, being away from home is not easy, and students often struggle with their mental health.
So not only as a subordinate, but just as a fellow res mate, I think it's important to notice the behavioral cues from the people around you. So if someone is not coming to the dining hall as often, or and how they greet you when they walk past you in the corridors. So I just take note if there's any slight dips or changes in their moods. I'll just typically invite them to my room, maybe for a cup of tea, so they can sit and we can have a cup of tea and just talk. I think most people, what they need is someone to listen to them rather than practical advice. If I feel that they're dealing with something that's bigger than myself or bigger than themselves, then I can just point them towards other channels where they can get more support.
The role of a subordinate blurs the lines between authority and family, between guidance and companionship. For many students, res is their first taste of independence. It is where friendships are formed over midnight snacks, where silence can feel heavy with homesickness, and where rules quietly shape the rhythm of daily life. But beneath the surface lies something deeper. What does it mean to feel at home in a place designed to manage you?
Having friends and also my resmates who like sisters, if I don't have something, I can ask.
Having friends and also my resmates are like my sisters. If I don't have something, I can ask for my resmates or my friends. The item that I came with is a Bible that my aunt gave me. It reminds me of home, because when I am reading it, I think of my aunt's words that even if I'm going through something, I can read the Bible and pray about the situation.
While university residences are meant to feel like home, they have rules that are meant to create order. In university residences, they promise safety, structure, and shared expectations. But for students, these rules often carry a different weight, one that sits at the border of identity, belonging, and autonomy.
The rules at res are strict, and they are different from the rules at my home. At home, I can sing and not be disturbed, but at res, I will be given hours for singing and be reported by someone who is just passing by the corridor. That person will report me even though they're not in their room. At res, letting a visitor sleep over results in disciplinary hours, while at home, this can lead to a friend getting kicked out and you will be left embarrassed.
It is within these constraints that students also build resilience. They adapt and sometimes resist. However, they still find ways to make res feel like home through shared meals and late night chats. Because home isn't just about structure, it's about feeling seen, heard, and safe. And at res, that feeling is always in abundance.
A very insightful package, Anga. It was amazing.
Yes.
Like, I got to learn so much.
Mm-hmm,
so, Anga, according to you, what are the key characteristics of an authoritative figure in school setting?
Okay, well, I think to answer your question, I think one, it should be clear communication skills. I think that's very important, especially if you're going to be dealing with children, like a lot of students, if I may say.
Yes.
And also, you should be fair in your judgment. Yes.
Fairness, that's an important one. Also, establish clear boundaries.
Yes. I think that's very important as well. Yeah, I agree with you on the boundaries part, because it makes the relationship between the figures and the students are more rigid, more respectful, and etc.
Yes, it makes the environment very easily to just understand.
Yeah.
So how do authoritative figures influence students' behavior? Like, now that we've established that they have to have, like, clear boundaries, how are those, like, after we have set those boundaries,
yes,
how is that relationship, like, how is that
Firstly, I think that it can positively influence student behavior. Ask me how.
How?
Because if you think about it, academic performance, it is created by... okay, yeah. Well, to answer your question, I think these figures can positively influence student behavior and academic performance. And in a sense that they create a supportive learning environment for the students. They set high expectations for the students.
For the students. Yes,
yes, which is very important because it provides guidance and feedback for the students. And then it fosters a sense of responsibility and motivation.
Yes.
So I think that's basically it. Like, yeah.
That's true, because now I'm looking at it in a sense where you're like at home, mm-hmm. and then your parents are like your authoritative figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, some things don't have to be communicated. You just know that I have to
exactly.
make my parents proud.
Mm-hmm.
All those
you
things.
You grow up with those things. Like, it's basically the dynamics of the family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anga. Now that we have established that this relationship between an authoritative figure and the students establish the sense of respect, we can now, like, sort of, like, try to find out what are some of the challenges that these mm-hmm. two faced, like the student and the authoritative figures?
Well, thank you, Malva. It's a pleasure. Well, I think some of the challenges that may arise, one, it's two different individuals.
Yes.
So obviously there's going to be communication breakdowns.
Yes, they are bound to yes. happen because they're two different
yes.
people.
And number two, it's going to be difference in perspective. You're going to have your own perspective. I'm going to have my different perspective.
Yes.
So that clashes, and it's quite a challenge, Evo. And it might also result to disciplinary issues. Say, for example, if you do bad things, or rather, if you
break the rules,
address I might yes. give you or the figures might give you disciplinary hours, and you have to perform them. So yeah. And one of the ways to, or rather the different ways into solving these challenges, and one of those ways is through communication, empathy, active listening, and problem solving. Yeah, well, student
yes.
and teachers can work together to find the solutions that meets everybody's needs. So yeah,
communication
yeah,
is
it's
the
very
most
key.
Important
it's very key.
One.
Yeah.
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 Earlier, we listened to a package done by Khamani and Ziyanda about parental figures in university residence. If you have missed it, don't worry. We have a lot more we have not covered. Coming up next, we have a package done by Angalake, Melva, and Ntando, where we explore the things that students bring with them from home. Basically, the discussion will be about what they brought from home that makes them feel at home in this unfamiliar environment.
Mm-hmm.
Anga, what are your thoughts?
Well, now that I know that many of us can't live without materialistic things, right?
Yes.
Some things are just way too important to leave behind. People move here from all over the country carrying suitcases and bags that are way too heavy. But we know that there are just some items that that we all need, and it's
yes,
and that we can never leave them behind.
Home,
and yeah,
yes.
KJ,
Yeah.
Exactly. And they told me these items, and they remind us or they make us feel at home, and
our new home.
Yes, yes. Allowing us and the people of the Makanda community to be more comfortable here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not from here, so it makes us feel that comfort. So we'll see, you know what?
Yeah,
this is actually
it's
home.
More like a reminder
mm-hmm.
of who you are.
Yes.
You know?
These yes. things could include blankets, books, pictures, a portrait of you and your mom, letters.
Please. Yes.
Yes. Or anything, man, that reminds you of a
anything.
Place where you grew up and the people who raised you. Yes. Bedding. Yes.
Anything.
Yes. It's not just materialistic things. It could even be a certain routine, particular diet that you keep.
Or a rhyme, like a song
yes.
that reminds you of home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything that which keeps you connected to home is just a good thing. Well, funny how this could also include habits of waking up. Yeah, I don't know, like, if at home you used to wake up early and take a jog, those things.
Yeah, you still
also,
continue with them.
Although, okay, it's never as simple as just an item, G. Yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
The actual symbol of something that reminds us of home does not give us a sense of the fact that they will return and see the people that we cherish the most. it gives us the chance to reflect on happier memories. Yes, whenever we are feeling down, but also allows us to feel that there are more memories to make in our new environment that will make us feel like we've been built a new home here.
Yes, because the end goal is to feel at home. It's your new environment.
It's always a good thing to create memories. Nikki once said, memories don't live like people did, darling.
Yes, chocolate. Talking about memories, Anga, what is your favorite childhood memory?
Well, I have a lot, but the one in my head, as you speak, was actually back in 2017. I'm that old. It was back in 2017 when I was actually ordained as a server at my church.
Oh.
Oh, darling, it was the best time of my life.
Yes.
Until today, I am still serving as a server at my church.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that's one time in my life where I felt really good. Like it was so nice.
You know what I love about memories is that they don't only make us feel good like when they happen.
Yes.
Like after
they
even
stay
after
with you.
Yes, they stay with you. Feeling you still feel it.
Sometimes you just feel nostalgic and just think of the time. Ugh, I remember when even when you listen to a certain song, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I remember. For example, now we're here having a conversation. 2 years down, we'll be like, ah, I remember.
And now that you're talking about it, it's like you're feeling it all over again. Mm, yes.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
It is.
All right, enough about me, Malva. I have a question for you too. What is your personal favorite childhood memory?
Oh, that's a difficult one because I have many. But like, there's this one, now that you've mentioned church, but like, oh my God, this one is my favorite. No, I'm not mentioning church. This one is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember this other time, back when I was in grade, maybe 3 or 4, I came back crying from school because like all my friends could like draw and I couldn't draw. And I come back and then I tell my grandfather, I'm like, yo, the kids at my school were drawing and they were busy laughing at my drawing. And then my grandfather was like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, nah, I don't want that.
I want to know how to draw.
And then he made a suggestion. He was like, how about I buy you tracing papers? Do you know tracing papers?
Yes,
it was like, how about I buy you tracing papers? And I'm like, I need to draw SN tomorrow. And then you're telling me about tracing papers.
Yeah.
But he went on and then he bought the tracing papers. And then from there on, I drew stuff for him, like anything. Like,
oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet of him.
Yeah, that's like my favorite childhood memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of childhood memories, there are other things that connect us to home. As promised, we have a package conducted by myself, Angalaka, Ndando, and Malva. In this package, they basically delved into objects or items which students bring to campus from home. Let's have a listen to it. As many people do not make that journey without something to hold, this episode explores how students and locals in Makanda go about creating the sense of belonging within this new environment by surrounding themselves with items that remind them of home. Things like bedding that you use from home, a blanket gifted to you by your grandmother, jewel letter from home, or any kind of music that might remind you of a time where you were in your own bedroom. The transition from what feels like home to the unfamiliar environment is not easy, especially when you are not only moving away from the comfort and familiarity of family and friends, but also expected to navigate independence and self-resilience as a first-year student. Sibahle Mathonsi, a first-year student at Rhodes University, originally from Enkandla in a village in KZN, is a 18-year-old girl who struggled to adjust from village life to the city life of Makanda.
I'm Sibahle Mathonsi, a first-year student at Sports University.
Sibahle brought two cherished items to Makanda, a photograph of her mother and her childhood fleece blanket. The photo reminds her of her mother's strength as a single parent during her early years, while the fleece carries the scent and comfort of home. She describes the fleece as feeling like a warm hug after a long day, helping her feel close to her mother even from far away. Household to a private room was difficult at first. Sibahle missed late night conversation and family noise, but gradually grew to appreciate privacy and independence. Some tradition continue at Rhodes: midnight prayers and Sunday church services, though a heavy workload makes it harder to attend regularly.
My family is like, if you are a girl, you should carry yourself this way. If you are, you know, those things, like you are a girl, you're supposed to go to dances and stuff. And yeah, I kind of think about it. It's the only thing that's keeping going, like, otherwise. Otherwise. Maybe I
must
be rebellious right now, but
Sibahle reflects on her family's guidance, especially expectations for young women and participation in cultural events like the reed dance. Though sometimes she questions these customs, they remain a strong link to her heritage.
I've made quite a lot of friends, which I now regard as my sisters. And the hospitality of the mamas.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of my grandmother.
She now feels settled thanks to close friendships she calls sisters and the caring residence mamas who remind her of her grandmother. Rhodes, she says, has become a true home away from home. Being far from home can be a transformative experience, testing resilience and adaptability. For some, but for Denzel, it became an opportunity to embody the values instilled during his upbringing, turning distance into a chance for growth.
Coming to Rhodes and being in university in general has allowed me to create a lot of my own habits from scratch. And not per se dump the ones that I had at home, but reimagine who I think I am.
Denzel explains that he brought a small brown wooden cross from home when he moved to Makanda. The cross was a gift from his former school, St. George's College, after a month-long service project helping people in under-resourced communities. For him, it represents service, faith, and a tangible reminder of the work he once did for others.
So we got crosses in my old school, my old high school, St. George's College. After completing service projects for a month, where you go out to different underprivileged or communities struggling with any form of disability or differently abled bodies, and you help them. So at the end of that, you do a mass, and with that mass, we got these wooden crosses to commemorate that work that we've done for the community.
He reflects on how the cross keeps him grounded. University life can feel mechanical, he says, and seeing the cross each day reminds him of his humanity and the path he has traveled.
This cross really helps me remember how far I've come and what I've also done to impact other people's lives. Because in the moment you forget that you actually come from somewhere, and when you're doing the, you know, mundane activities of university life, you get lost into a lot of the things that make you who you are and become a robot. So that cross every day is a reminder for the humanity that still exists within me.
These objects are more than just a reminder of home. They are a source of strength and comfort. Looking again at the wooden cross, Denzel admits it stirs mixed emotions. It symbolizes his Christian faith and also reminds him how his spiritual life has changed. Though unsure if the shift is positive, the cross continues to spark deep reflection about belonging, growth, and direction. Sibahle and Denzel's story is just one of many voices that highlight the complexities of finding home away from home. As we continue to explore these narratives, we are reminded that home is not just a physical space, but a sense of belonging that we carry with us. Alrighty, so today we are joined by the rest of our beautiful team. And interestingly, we will be playing a Q&A game about the items that students bring to the university and the people who are in authority positions.
Are you guys ready?
Yes. So today I am joined by the beautiful Kamani, Melva, and Dano.
Hello.
Yes. The first question is, who is responsible for student discipline at RES?
Hello everyone. My name is Ntando. I am currently staying at De Beers, so my warden is Dr. Stone, and he's responsible for basically taking care of us, and he's basically a parent for us, so a father away from home, I guess, in a sense. Mm. Lovely.
So Ntando, who do you think is responsible for discipline at home?
Melva, I'd have to say my grandfather. I grew up in a very Christian household, so from there, he's basically the father in the household itself. Mm-hmm. We have a very big home, mostly cousins and aunt and my aunt as well,
yes,
and my grandmother, obviously. He's definitely the main head of the house, I guess I could say. He's responsible for
the discipline.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. He is. Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the second question, what do we call a student leader in charge of a residence committee?
Head student.
Mm.
Yes.
All right, moving on to the third question. Who assists students with personal or academic guidance at RES?
The academic rep, wouldn't that be?
Yes. Another answer, a different answer, Kamani?
In matters of health, it is the wellness rep.
Mm-hmm. And I think another important person could be your mentor.
Mentor, that's what I was going to say. Student mentor as well, yes.
So, okay, at home, who is responsible for guiding you? Who plays this part?
I think for me, it's very difficult because I went through boarding school. So I actually went to boarding school. And so basically, I haven't really been at home for most of my life, in a sense, especially my schooling years. So from grade 8 to grade 12, we had prefects that were implemented to help us, basically. So from grade 8, I had a grade 12 taking care of me, in a sense. And obviously, we had head of houses as well throughout high school. And it usually worked in that sense where you had someone that was more experienced than you, helping you in your year and helping you to basically live out the rest of your career when they had left as well. So those are the people that essentially helped me throughout my student life. At home, it's very different because I'm barely at home. So I usually just take care of myself and try to help myself in a sense. I don't know. It's very different.
Okay, Ntando, thank you for that nice response. So moving on to another question. Who is the university staff member overseeing all residences here at George University?
You want the name?
You can call the name if you want.
It's the director.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Okay, let me help you. Her name is Desiree Wicks.
Yes. Lovely.
Lovely.
At home, who would you say this person is?
I would say it's my uncle and my aunt.
Yes, and great-grandmothers, don't you think?
So basically your aunties and mommies are the one overseeing everything at home, basically. All right, moving on to the fifth question. Which student body organizes events and activities at RES?
Entertainment RES.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. What do students use to cook noodles or boil water at RES?
Microwave.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Why do you say that?
Microwave is a horrible method to do it. But it works. I'm saying it works, but it's like the microwave is usually dirty sometimes, so you don't use it a lot. Yeah.
All right. What do students use to carry or store water during water shortages?
Buckets.
Pebble buckets.
You know, one thing about me, if there's a water shortage and I have to use those buckets or those basins to wash, it's like I haven't fully washed.
You feel sticky.
Yes, I hate that. Okay, moving on. What electronic item do students use for studying and assignments?
A laptop.
Yeah. Right. What bedding item do students bring for warmth at RES, especially during winter?
Blankets.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Also, I have a question. At home, you know, during winter when you're watching TV at the common room, or rather at the sitting room. You know, we always, okay, besides the heater, you know, you always want that little fleecy, What? Do you do that at home?
I do that a lot.
Me too. Your coffee, your fleece, and then you watch your favorite show.
Don't forget family. Yeah, that combination goes well with family.
Everyone is dead. Windows closed, curtains closed. It's just warm. Family time.
Yeah.
It's just so warm. Now I miss home. I'm homesick already. Okay, moving on to the last question of our Q&A. It was a fun game, but you know what they say, accounting a penny. So, the last question is, what do students use to eat meals and store cooked food?
Tupperware container.
Your mother's Tupperware container.
It's always dirty and oily.
She would kill me.
Am I the only one who, if for example I made noodles at maybe the AMs, I can never sleep without washing or rinsing it before sleeping.
That's true.
Same.
It's one of the things I learned from home, because at home, back at home, you can never sleep without washing the dishes.
It has to be empty. In the morning, it has to be empty.
Wow, Anga, that was such a lovely game.
Indeed.
Now I miss home, man.
Me too, bro. Ugh.
Let's go home.
Like, when is recess? I mean, I want to leave already.
I want to see my grandmother.
Oh, me too.
Yes. But like, Anga, what is like that one song that reminds you of home?
Oh, darling, every time I feel like, ugh, I feel homesick and there's a certain nostalgia in my mind, I like to relax and listen to "A Bye" by Ami Faku.
Yes.
Oh, that's like what
your
my go-to
song.
It goes, "Amehlabo mfokudinekile, nabachana bam undibanqabile." Something like that, man. That's like my go-to song. Yeah. What about you, Melva?
So I don't have like a go-to song. Mm-hmm. Like any song in my language, that's like my reminds me of home. But right now, there's like this trending song on TikTok. It goes like this. I can't sing, Anga. That song, that's the one right now.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the end of our episode. I thank you so much. See you next time.